straight out of Austin, Texas. It's On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com, with your hosts, Statesman sports columnists Cedric Golden and Kirk Bowles. Often imitated, never duplicated. Hear it here first, On Second Thought.
On Second Thought, episode 267. Brought to you by Hook'em.com, our good friends at Bud Light. Sed Golden here, and you see the Doug Kirk Bowles. Wow. Big doings going on in the college football populace. We're going to have Barry Trammell of the Oklahoman on, Duck, in our next segment. But first, let's talk about the Texas Longhorns. Someone out there thinks they're the best team in college football. They were number 18 in the USA Today coaches poll, but someone gave them a first place vote. It wasn't Steve Sarkisian, who doesn't have a vote. It wasn't Jimbo Fisher, who doesn't have a vote. Duck, who was it?
We're on the case.
We are on the case.
It could be Nick Saban. He does have a vote. I reached out to Alabama today, and Josh Max and the SID for football at Alabama said it's a private ballot. Nick never reveals his vote, which isn't a denial. So, but I'd be a little surprised if it was Nick, because he takes everything serious. Wouldn't you be a little surprised if it was Nick?
Yeah, I would be, even though I did write in Wednesday's Austin American Statesman that he was suspect number one.
Could be.
So we're playing a game of Clue, and he's suspect number one. And it's the kind of thing where he is always into the bunker mentality, the us against them. Hey, someone voted them number one in the country. Don't be sleeping on Texas. It's going to be an ambush when we get to Austin on September the 10th. So that's the kind of – he's the most master of master motivators. And so it's a long way to go to make a point because they're Alabama and Texas is trying to find itself. But I wouldn't put it past St. Nick to pull something like that.
But can you see him walking in the room and Bryce Young's coach, did you really vote Texas number one? Did you know they were 5-7 last year?
And he's never going to tell them. No one will ever know.
People talk. I don't know.
I don't think people around Nick Saban talk, because those people get gone. They don't talk.
They don't talk publicly. They don't talk publicly. We know that.
They don't even talk privately. You don't read stories coming out of there about grumblings inside that building or anything like that. That is a fortress of not misinformation, but non-information. There's not a whole lot seeping out of those walls. Those walls in Tuscaloosa do not talk.
And if those who do talk are disgruntled, they end up at Texas or somewhere.
Not a bad falling spot, Doug.
No, but you know, I don't know if Sark just going to get his rejects or not. But yeah, we've had some fun with this whole thing, and I've reached out. Mac Brown does not have a vote. I talked to Jeremy Sharp, the former UT assistant SID. He says Mac doesn't vote. Jimbo doesn't have a vote at A&M.
Mac was listed on those voters, though.
No, I don't think he was.
I don't look.
Jeremy said he's not a voter.
Okay.
So I checked with Jake Spavital today, and I texted him. I said, did you vote him number one? And he sends me the old weepy eye emoji. So then he said, I did vote him high. So
higher than 18.
Maybe one. I don't know. And I checked with Kyle Stevens at UTSA, Jeff Trader, former Longhorn assistant. He didn't vote him number one. And I've reached out to some other ones like Sonny Dykes at TCU and Stan Drayton at Temple. Not heard back from
him. I think he had a little bit too much time on your hands, Doug. Those guys aren't going to tell you anything.
Well, some of them are. Some of them are saying they didn't vote for him, but we do have time on our hands because we don't get any new players to talk to. I was talking to BD about that today. They've got 35 new faces on this roster. Sark made a point to tell us last week. How many of those have we talked to of those 35?
Well, in over your vast many years covering the Longhorn program, particularly under Mack Brown in the modern era, when do they ever let newcomers talk?
Oh, I know. But
Never.
wouldn't that be great? Aren't Longhorn Nation fans salivating over hearing, from Isaiah Nayor or Jahlil Billingsley or Hall or any of these players that are bringing something new that excites the fan base? Wouldn't that make sense to you?
I think so. I think so, especially with the number one team in the country coming back, coming off a 5-7 season. You know, that's a, I think to get those new players in front of us, it's something that we would like. It's a sports writer's question. It's a fan's question. It's not a football coach's question because he's trying to figure out if these guys can help him. But I wanted to share this with the listeners and the viewers. I actually asked Coach Sarkisian about the number one vote. Here's what he had to say.
You guys finished 5-7 last year. You get first.
Thanks for the reminder, Ted. Appreciate that.
I mean, just making sure you have, in case you forgot. You get a first place vote in the coaches poll today. Who's in
Which one
left?
of you guys did it? I don't know.
Coaches.
There are no coaches in there besides you,
oh,
sir.
Darn it. It wasn't me.
You don't have a vote, do you? You don't have a vote, do
No,
you?
no.
Who do you, I mean, what's your reaction to that?
I say this all the time. I never really understand preseason polls. I don't quite get them. And I know you guys do your media picks for the Big 12, and we do it for, for the coaches poll and then the AP poll. I never quite understand it because you are the way you play. You are the record that you end up with. And we got a lot of work to do. We're picked to finish fourth in the Big 12. So that should motivate us to get our asses moving and practice really well.
He doesn't like being reminded that they went 5-7, Doug, but I don't want him to forget. So I kind of bring it up from time to time. He doesn't have a whole lot of use for the preseason. For the preseason poll, but he did say we're picked to finish fourth in the Big 12, and that resonated with him.
Yeah,
I
he said they
was a
gotta
lot
get their
more
asses
upset about
moving.
that than the number one pick.
He
Number
said
one,
they gotta get their asses moving,
gotta get moving.
stuff. So yeah, I just that just falls on deaf ears to me. I don't get the poll. What's the? It's all interest. I mean, every sports talk show in America. It's talking about college football. It's building interest. It's hyping the game. It's talking about the best players. It's talking about somebody like a Wake Forest losing their quarterback or NC State making a bid or is A&M a top five team. It drives me crazy when coaches say that. And, here's Sark making $6.2 million and those fans pay his salary. And it's because of their passion. And just because you have a poll doesn't mean you're wedded to it. You know as well as I do when I vote my AP poll, I'll make a drastic change. If I've got an unranked team and they knock off somebody high, I'll put them in my top 10. I think the days of incrementally moving them up or two or three spots are over, but it's all about interest. It's all about passion. And I don't really understand why Sark wouldn't get it.
He kind of gets it. He just doesn't want to. He doesn't want to be too inclusive of the meet. I mean, of the coaches and what they're doing. I'm not a huge fan of preseason polls, but it does kind of get me excited about the season coming up, and it kind of gives me a little bit of a kick in the, little shot in the arm to get ready for the season, but I'll take them over watch list all day long.
Oh my God.
Those are the worst.
Watch this.
Those are the
You got
worst.
90 people on a Bednarski watch list. What does that mean? It doesn't mean anything.
There are
But
not 90 great receivers in college football,
no, I mean, at least the
or
polls.
tackles or whatever.
Yeah,
You
the
said
polls.
Bednarski and not Biletnikoff, but you see Jatavion Sanders on the tight end watch list.
Hadn't caught a pass.
He's
Hadn't
never
caught a
caught a
pass
pass
yet.
in college.
Yeah, those are silly. Now, the watch list doesn't make any sense to me. If you want to do it after week one, week two, knock yourself out, go for it. But all those watch lists, to me, that's crazy. So, anyway, what else have you learned? We've had, I guess, what, 6 days of practice, seven, and now have the pads on this week. Have you learned anything yet?
No. Actually, I have. I've learned that I believe Bijan Robinson is starting to come into his own as a leader in that locker room. He's getting after people at practice for drop balls, for missed assignments. He's talking trash to Agent Zero and Moro Ojimo in an effort to get people fired up on both sides of the ball. I think he knows that this is a, and I know he might not look at it this way, but this is how I view it, Duck. This is a money year for Bijan Robinson. And I'm not talking about the Lamborghini he's driving around. I'm talking about, do you want to be a first round pick? Do you want to be a guy that goes number 24 in the first round, or do you want to go be a guy that goes number 5 or number 6? Because there's bigger money in that top 5 than there is in that top 30. The Heisman hype is real, but it's preseason hype. It's not October hype. If it's October hype, then we know he's rolling already and they're still talking about him. So I like what he said. I like what's coming out of his mouth. I like the leadership that he's showing. Will it translate to wins on that field? Will they make the same mistake they made when Mac Brown made in 09 with Colt McCoy, when in his zeal and his zest to get Colt a Heisman Trophy, he didn't get Garrett Gilbert good reps, 26 passing attempts going into the championship game, didn't have him ready. And they have a stable of running backs, Duck, a stable of good running backs. My hope will be that they don't run Bijan into the ground trying to win what has largely become a quarterback's award.
Well, he better be a leader now because he's only on campus probably 4 more months.
What are you trying to say, Duck? You think
he's gone.
He gotta go.
There's probably not a 1% chance he comes back after this year. And
why would
and
you?
He shouldn't.
You only get a certain amount of carries, Duck, in your body.
So much tread on the stars. A couple of other things. When do you think he might name the quarterback? I think probably maybe not next Monday after Saturday's first scrimmage, but I'm kind of thinking maybe the following Monday after scrimmage two, and then he'll dub Quinn Ewers as the savior.
That's the first day of school, I believe, Duck.
Yeah, but it's like 2 weeks till.
Yeah, I'm not saying it actually is Monday the 22nd, I believe. You know what? Wednesday is the 12th, 10, 24. Duck, I look at it like this. Sooner rather than later. And if you already know it's the guy, let's get it done. Let's do it. Let's finish up the last 2 weeks of August or the last week of August knowing full well who the quarterback is. I think he'll do it in a formal presser, which those, you know, they might do something over on the 9th floor of BKR and Centennial Room, you know, Longhorn Network will be there. I think that's when he would do it. I don't know that he'd do it on midweek availability. It's a big announcement. Personally, I think the Sark knows that he's going to name Quinn Ewers.
I think all of us do.
Thought we knew last year, though, and we didn't.
Well, but let me throw this at you. What if he named next Monday after one scrimmage, Hudson Card's my quarterback? Okay, you've made your bed with Hudson Card 2 years in a row. The last time you did that, it lasted 7 quarters. If you name Hudson Card your starting quarterback again, and that Alabama week 2 game, and he – you know, puckers up in the first half and you got to go to Quinn Ewers. Now, you've picked the wrong guy twice, you know, Sark, and you're the quarterback whisperer. So It's just one more reason why he probably got to pick Quinn Ewers and let Quinn Ewers play himself either into or out of the role. But, you know, remember, this guy hadn't thrown a pass in college. He hadn't thrown a pass in a game in 2 years. So there, it's a gamble, but, you know, I think it's so obvious to everybody it's going to be Ewers. And like I said, there's a bit of a gamble if he'd name Card.
Yeah, but if he names Card, he can't be thinking about what happened last year, because maybe Hudson Card's totally different player than he was last year.
Well, we thought he was better in the spring. We thought he outplayed Quinn in the spring game. You and I did.
Our eyes didn't lie to us. He was better than Quinn Ewers. He was six out of his first seven, and Quinn Ewers was missing all over the place. So I think that what do we know? We don't get to watch full practices.
I just
believe it's gonna be Quinn. People don't like it when I say it. I don't care. I believe that when he came in here, I think assurances were made to him that it was his job to lose.
Yeah, I disagree.
I know you do, but this is not 1987. This is NIL. This is players have more negotiating power than they've ever had, because it's over the table and the money is there. He didn't come here to lose a starting job to Hudson Card. He's not competing against Colt McCoy. This is a guy who flamed out in the second game. And so when they made the decision to come to Texas, they didn't just say, we're going. Then they met with Sark and company. No, those meetings happened beforehand. And I'm sure the Ewers clan laid out their, you know, where they stood on this matter. And was it a done deal before he got here? No. But I do believe that the first day he stepped on campus, that he was already the leader in the clubhouse because of discussions they had had.
Well, here's why I would disagree. Not so much give him assurances, because that's a good way for a locker room to bail on you. It's more you draft the guy in the first round, and, you know, Tom Brady's, what, sixth round? You know, it's like you're going to lean toward playing that first round pick. And it's more that than telling Quinn Ewers, oh, yeah, it's your job, because – you know, Quinn Ewers starts.
No, it's your job to lose, Quinn. I'm going to say it's your job, but I'm saying, Quinn, you're going to step onto that field as the lead dog, but you got to play well. But I don't think it was an even race when they both got in the starting block.
No, I don't either. But I just quibble with the word assurances, because I think if you do that, hey, you're our guy, we're not going to start Hudson Card. I think that would be a disservice to your team. I just think he was so high profile and like the number one recruit in the nation, all that accompanies that.
But who's to say you do a disservice to your team? Those people aren't privy to those conversations. As long as Quinn Ewers plays football and plays up to his ability, I mean they couldn't have had those conversations and Quinn show up fat. Mm-hmm. It's interesting.
I know, but you were talking about assurances before he got here.
I'm saying assurances before he got here that you know, if you play like you're capable of playing, it's gonna be your job.
Well, sure, but that's not assurance, because nobody knows if he's capable of playing.
But he didn't go in and go, you're gonna have to win that job, Quinn, because it's gonna be an even race. No, when you draft a guy in the first round, you're gonna try to play that guy.
Yeah, we're gonna have to get Barry on with it. But last thing, was there somebody else that's jumped out at you, said that, oh, I like his cut, I like the way he looks? I know you and I both were impressed with Kelvin Banks, weren't we?
Yeah, that's the one. I saw him going through drills, and he's a big offensive lineman, and I will be shocked if he's not starting by week three or week four. He may start the opener, but they don't have guys that look like him and move like him. And Yeah, I just couldn't imagine if they're going to play him at tackle, someone like Christian Scott beating him out. Eventually, Kelvin Banks is going to be the linchpin of that offensive line. And I know he's a freshman, but he sure don't look like it, though.
And you've got like Cam Williams, DJ Campbell, players like that. They're going to get every opportunity to play meaningful minutes early, I think.
Well, let's get Barry Trammell in here, Duck.
Let's do it.
On Second Thought.
Doug, let's shift gears from the number one team in the country, at least according to one voter, to a legitimate title contender.
A real number one.
A real number one, especially in the Big 12 ranks, the Oklahoma Sooners. Barry Trammell, our friend of the podcast, longtime columnist of the Oklahoman, joins us. Barry, is there anything interesting going on that beat?
No, it's been low key up here in central Oklahoma. Nothing to write about. Oh, what a mess.
Oh, put it on the table for us. I'm sure you were stunned. I would think. I know you've known Cale Gundy since he was in diapers almost. So
yeah,
what was your initial reaction?
Well, I was stunned like everybody else, but yeah, if people don't know what we're talking about,
right?
He's longtime 23-year OU assistant, former OU quarterback, wide receivers coach. He gets mad one of his players isn't paying attention in a position meeting. He goes over the kid who's on his iPad. He grabs the iPad. I don't know if the kid was writing lyrics or was just looking at lyrics. But Cale decides he's going to embarrass the kid by reading what's on the screen. Mm-hmm. He starts reading. He reads a word he shouldn't have read. Turns out he read it multiple times, repeatedly. Let's say he read it repeatedly. I always take repeatedly as more than multiple. Multiple is the word I use when I really mean two, but I want it to sound big. Repeatedly.
More than two.
And then clearly, Cale just lost his mind. You know, he's angry. He's mad. He just loses his mind. And the fallout is he's out of a job. This happened Thursday. And by Sunday, early Sunday, the fate was known. He was out of a job. By Sunday night, it was announced. And, you know, people, it's sort of, in many ways, it's sort of split the Sooner Nation. A lot of people.
I bet.
Want people compiling petitions, taking to the streets, mad at the woke movement. And then other people on the other side saying, what are you talking about? It's automatic. He had to go. So rough waters for Brent Venables. Got hired in December, and the other day he woke up and said, this is why they're paying me $7 million to coach football. I got to deal with this kind of stuff.
Big bucks, big headaches.
Yeah. So it's a mess, but Cale Gundy is out. There's not any question about that.
That was so abrupt.
Yeah, I my immediate reaction was there has to be more to the story, because at first they were like, oh, he said an inappropriate word while he was reading. And I go, that can happen.
Yeah.
That can happen. Well, but just don't say it again.
Well, pretty clearly, Cale was trying to take up for himself, defend himself with his initial tweet.
Of course.
University brass was not too happy with that because it clearly didn't tell the whole story.
Mm-hmm.
This is not everybody in tears as he walks away. They liked Cale. They appreciate his service, but I don't know that they were too happy with him, even after this incident, with some of the things that happened. So it's a mess. Personally, I think there was no decision to be made, just from a pragmatic standpoint. You know, his main focus is recruiting. Right. Now, I know none of the gentle-minded Texas people would use this against OU in recruiting. But what do you think the Aggies would do with this information? For crying out loud!
No, especially in these times. Well, you wrote an interesting column, Barry, about this subject, and you quoted your pastor,
right,
Reverend Clarence Hill, and who posed the question. He said, "Where's room for forgiveness? Why can't like minds just come to the table, sort this out?" And I thought he made some really good points, as you did in your story, especially when this guy's been there for over a quarter of a century as a player and a coach. Do you think either Brent argued for that, or Joe Castiglione or the administration said, because it didn't happen the next day, do you think it went up the chain of command and there were some people that said, maybe let's see if we can talk this out?
I could be wrong. I don't think this went higher in the decision-making process than Brent and Joe Castiglione.
Okay.
I don't know that. I've been told that the president, while involved in the information gathering and what's going on, was not, was left the decision basically up to them.
Okay.
My pastor, Clarence Hill, he made a great point. It's a great point. We're not going to get anywhere if we don't sit down and talk about these things.
Right.
And try to find reconciliation.
Yeah, common ground.
And learn from stuff.
Exactly.
On the other hand, it goes back to what I just said. We're not playing recreation football here. We're not on the street corner trying to get along in the neighborhood. This is a billion-dollar business, in case anybody hadn't noticed in the last 12 months. And, it's high stakes. And Cale Gundy's job is to recruit football players and turn them into playmakers when they get here. And if that ability, and he's been very good at it. I mean, he's basically for 20 years, totality of 20 years, he's probably the number one recruiter for OU in terms of star power. But if that's compromised, then his ability to do that job, that's throw out the high-mindedness, throw out the spirituality, throw out the congeniality, throw out the milk of human kindness. There's football games to be won.
That's the business.
And that's where we're at. So I don't know that OU had any choice in the matter. It's a shame. And, hopefully at some point, Cale and his alma mater, who he's been incredibly loyal to, he's starting quarterback for 4 years, so he's 27 seasons of Oklahoma football. He's got the most wins as a player/coach combination in school history by a wide margin. He leads Switzer by 60 victories. So, this is a monumental person in the history of OU football. But he was sort of after the incident last week, he had become rendered himself ineffective for the job.
You can't claim ignorance. This is not 1958.
No, that's right. Yeah, that's right. That's right. And Cedric's right.
Yeah.
If you just read it, if you keep going, and he is a member of the Gundy family, right. We know that they can lose their head.
They
know that. Mike hadn't done it in a long time, but he has before.
But he will always be known for that one day.
Yeah, that's right.
So for me, I look at it two ways. Like Barry said, it's business. You can't, for every Drake Stoops out there, there are seven or eight CD Lambs who you've got to go into that house and tell his mom and dad and convince them that Oklahoma is the place for your kid. He's no longer able to credibly walk into a black household without that stigma attached to him. It's going to be hard for him to get a job, I think, because people know what he said.
Unless it's Stillwater.
And
he's got an in, but he knows somebody from what he understands.
Yeah, that's a good point. But you know what? There's such a thing as negative recruiting in this business.
Yeah. He's compromised.
I talked to Cale Gundy last week. You mean the guy that dropped N-bombs?
Yeah.
And here's the other thing. It is 2022. And surely their cell phone recording or video, these kids record everything. unless they take up cell phones before, I mean, there could easily be a tape out there. Those kind of things happen. One disgruntled player, and all of a sudden, here's Cale Gundy audio. So,
And Cedric, and that's a good point there, because some people have said, well, why didn't they just try to deal with it internally, not let it out, blah, blah, blah.
There's no such thing.
Well, here's the thing. You can attempt that, and maybe you're successful. Yep. But what if you're not? All right. Then it's out, and you hit it. You swept it under the rug. So everybody is looking terrible.
Then Brett looks worse.
Yeah. So that was not an option.
Well, the cover up worse than the crime. We've seen over and over and over. That's now I wonder how big a setback is this for Brett Venables, who hadn't coached a game yet as a head coach. How is that as far as working with his staff and just kind of the morale and the mojo right now, Barry?
I think the staff will be okay. Brent brought in a ton of his own people. He kept, three or four guys. Let's see, DeMarco Murray, Bill Beedenbow, Cale Gundy. Maybe that was it. So you only got two holdovers. Right. And DeMarco Murray put out a statement that was, semi-supportive of Cale, but not – he wasn't full not blast global. Out there. Yeah. So – And Beedenbow, sort of minds his own business on stuff. So I think the staff will be fine. We're told that the team morale, the team met. They had a long team meeting about this before the announcement was made. So I assume the team is sort of in gear with what the decision was. Brent's biggest problem is going to be the fracture in the fan base. Mm-hmm. Which is no big deal as long as he beats Nebraska and Texas and gets to 5-0, and everybody'll throw a parade.
Everybody's happy.
But what if he gets off to 3-2? All of a sudden, not only can he not win, but he doesn't know how to run a staff and maintain, make good decisions. So, like we said, it's a business. It comes down to winning and losing. So,
that's the bigger question: decision making. Yeah. Right.
The good news for Venables is he's 50 years old. And while I don't know about outsiders, but I still think of, when I think of Brent Venables, I think, the 30-year-old sidekick to Mike Stoops. I sort of have to, this guy's 50 years old and he's been gone from here 11 years and he was here 13 years. And before that, he was with Bill Snyder for 8 years. Mm-hmm. So he's not any kind of yearling in terms of being around football. He's seen Bob Stoops and Bill Snyder and Dabo Swinney make big time decisions. You know what's interesting, guys? I'd forgotten this. One of my colleagues brought it up. Remember 4 or 5 years ago, the Clemson assistant who said the wrong word.
One of Dabo's assistants.
And I think he was just repeating what somebody had just yelled at him. And it was a big deal. Dabo kept him. Dabo kept that coach on the staff. So Brent has seen this kind of decision have to be made up close.
Oh, yeah.
And he thinks the world of Dabo Swinney.
Right.
I would say Dabo Swinney's had a bigger impact on Brent than Stoops or Snyder, who had profound impacts on him. So he's as prepared to make this decision as anybody could be.
And think, Barry, the heating process – will be helped a little bit because they see Brent as one of their own, as opposed to hiring somebody from Utah or Virginia.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. 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 Yeah.
They know Brent.
They know. And
Brent didn't say it. I mean, Brent had to do that. He had to make that call.
Yeah. And you know what? A whole lot of this, guys, is steeped in just the unfortunate atmosphere that permeates our entire country.
True.
Where anything that happens, people draw a political line, whether it's sandwich bread or wheat bread. People find a way to turn it into a political debate. So there's a lot of that going on here. We saw that in Stillwater 2 years ago with Mike Gundy's deal with Chuba Hubbard. Everybody was over that, and everybody was cheering on the Cowboys when they beat Notre Dame in the Fiesta Bowl. So it all comes down to how you do on the football field.
Yeah, right.
I don't think people are going to turn back their season tickets. And if they do, somebody will be there to buy them. So
go ahead, Sid.
It reminded me of when I was early in my column writing days when Obama won the nomination. And Duck, you remember this. Texas had a backup center by the name of Buck Burnett from Wimberley, Texas. And Buck Burnett, and I'm paraphrasing here, put on his Facebook page something along the lines of, you know, we gotta go hunt down that coon in the White House. And it went viral for whatever viral was back then. It was pre-Twitter. And Mack Brown threw him off the team.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote a column saying that he did the right thing. Buck didn't want to be quoted in the piece, but he apologized to me as a, you know, because he knew I was a black man and his teammates. But in the piece I wrote that, you know, Mack Brown knows where his bread is buttered, and it's in Houston and Dallas. I mean, it's not in West Texas. I mean, the black kids from those cities and those suburbs are the athletic backbone of his team, the Vince Youngs, those kind of guys, the Jamal Charleses. So I got huge blowback, death threats, N-bombs, voicemails. Doug, remember, they wouldn't have let me open my mail because they thought people were going to send me anthrax in my mail. That was a big deal back in then. So here we are 14, 15 years later, and we're having some of the same conversations, and white men are making some of the same gaffes, except that the spotlight is a lot bigger now because of social media. And man, these people need to figure out, man, think first before you do something. Kale must have just lost his ever loving mind.
Yeah,
to basically maybe throw away a career, mm-hmm. But because one kid wasn't paying attention. That's the one thing that shocked me, because he's been around forever and he's not some pup coach who just got out of college. And man, I'm sure he will forever regret that just lapse in judgment. It can happen to anybody. But like I said at the beginning of this conversation, say it one time and I'm like, oh.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like you said, Woody Hayes.
Don't cut it and paste it. I mean, because once you say it once, that little voice inside of you should be going, I don't need to say that again.
Unless
you're used to saying it. And I don't know, Kale, mm-hmm. but that is a thought that crossed my mind. Maybe he's a little bit too comfortable saying that word.
If you say it repeatedly, it definitely raises that point anyway. So, but anyway, to change subject just a little bit, I don't know what kind of marks you'd give Brent Venables on the way he's running his team, how he's dealing with the media. And do you think they're a legit preseason top 10 team, Barry?
Oh, I would say maybe down there, as long as you're down near the bottom of the top 10. They're not pushing the top five, I don't think. There's a lot of questions about them. You know, the defense will be better coached. There's not any question about that.
Right.
But they were only mediocre last year. You know, Casey Thompson lit them up
mm-hmm.
for a good chunk of that Saturday in the Cotton Bowl. Other people, Tulane scored 35 on them. They had some issues. And they lost five players to the NFL draft. So it's not like they were void of talent.
Right.
They might be void of talent this year compared to last year. So I'm hard-pressed to see if they'll be much better on defense. Whatever gains they make because of Brent's culture and his defensive acumen, you got those guys missing. And offensively, I think they're going to be good. Is their quarterbacking, Dillon Gabriel, is it going to be what they've been used to? Well, he's probably pretty similar to Spencer Rattler and Caleb Williams.
Very proven.
You know, I'll let the Horn fans in on something. The Caleb Williams that came in and broke your heart, that's the best he played all year. He didn't play like that the rest of the season. So he was, you know, he's clearly going to be a star and he's clearly talented, but he had his moments where he had made a lot of mistakes. So Dillon Gabriel can play up to the Rattler Williams level. I don't think he can get to Jalen Hurts, Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray.
Mm-hmm.
So
Heisman level there.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be a top four Heisman guy. The tailback room is pretty wiped out. They don't have, you know, they've been running Trey Sermon and Kennedy Brooks and all kinds of people at their opponents. They don't have anybody like that unless there's a freshman superstar that we haven't seen. So offensive line has been shaky, you know, by OU standards for 2 or 3 years. So I just don't think they're going to be up to the Oklahoma normal on offense.
Yeah.
Now they get Baylor and Norman, they get OSU and Norman, they get Texas and Dallas. So the schedule is favorable. So they could win the Big 12. They'll be heck. They'll probably be favored in every game they play.
Yeah.
Or they certainly are now. But
it just seems like a wide open Big 12 to me.
It does. Watch out for the Wildcats. Watch out for the K-States.
Adrian Martinez. And they play OU well, as we know.
Yeah, so. They do. Yeah. They got K-State and Norman. I mean, it's hard. They got a fantastic schedule.
Great schedule.
But it is going to be a wide open Big 12, I think.
I'm looking forward to that Nebraska game. They go up to Lincoln. I don't know what the last year they went up there.
But 2009. Hadn't been since 2009.
They'll be loaded for bear up there.
Yeah, they will.
A little pressure on Scott Frost, too.
Yeah. Casey Thompson and Dylan Gabriel. Just the OU Nebraska matchup we thought we'd see.
Exactly. So, there's talk about Big Ten signing this mega media rights deal. Do you see that having any effect on Texas and OU's departure date for the SEC?
I think it's possible. I actually thought as soon as I heard the USC-UCLA news, I thought we could see the Sooners and Longhorns go a year early, because I don't think ESPN wanted Fox to get the jump on the revelry and the excitement behind the new deal which starts.
That was actually refreshing to see that. To see that the mouse was kind of on the outside looking in. I kind of like to see that.
Well, also that now that ESPN's out of the Big Ten picture, they got more money to spend on the Big 12. And if they get more money and you got the four newcomers coming in next summer, I mean, maybe.
No.
Do you see any way next year, SEC, or is that way too early?
I don't see it in 23.
I don't either.
I do think 24 is a possibility.
That's what I like. I like it.
And it's ESPN would have to pony up as far as the Sooners are concerned. I mean, OU's not going to write anybody a big check to leave early. But if ESPN wants to get involved, that could happen. We'll see what happens with the Big 12 contract. I don't know. I think the Big 12, the NBC-CBS deal with Fox and Big 10, that helps the Big 12 in terms of promotion.
Right.
All things being equal, or even not even being equal, you'd rather be on ESPN for the hype, for game day, for the tradition, for all that reasons. I do think it potentially could hurt them, though, financially, because it could take CBS and NBC, probably will, out of the marketplace. They may be saying, we got what we want.
Yeah, maybe ESPN and Fox, maybe all that's left.
The more networks you have, the more your price goes up. And if it's ESPN bidding against itself or just one other entity, I don't know.
When you keep hearing.
I wonder if I think they play one more year and then the mouse just goes, you know what? We're going to help you with this exit fee, Texas. But that $15 million that we were going to give you for a network, why don't we just let that one go and cut you a check for another. We'll pony up another $15 million, and then you can pony up $15 million, and then that's like $40-50 million. That might be able to get them out of there.
Maybe. I can't even nail them down on if it's, you know, once they said they're leaving, the figure was $80 million. And I've talked to Texas people and Big 12 people, and they say it doesn't necessarily.
Bozeman said that it. People are putting that out there that it keeps going down every year. He goes, that is not true.
I don't know what it is. Texas won't say what it is, but I don't know if Oklahoma says what it is. But
and here's the other thing. I don't know that OU's in any hurry to get there.
Texas shouldn't be either.
I'm serious.
Finally, someone speaks the truth.
Yeah, I mean,
they had to go because Texas.
Well, and I I think they'd have been fine, but with the coaching change and the culture change, and I think they want to give Brent a chance to get his legs under him and get his system in and his recruits in before they start, you know, trading off Iowa State for LSU.
What about the fact that they own the Big 12? I mean, that there's that little caveat.
Well, that's true, too. Yeah.
You're taking them out of their fiefdom, and you're putting them into a dang minefield. It's a money move. It ain't a football move. It was never about football.
No, you're exactly right.
Texas is not exactly rolling at 5-7. They could use another decade or so to maybe get rid of
Vanderbilt's like
– I did. You know, I don't know if you guys saw it, but Blake Toppenmeier, the SEC writer for Gannett, run his stuff a lot. He threw out the 10-game conference schedule with 5 permanent opponents, and he gave the Sooners Texas, Texas A&M, Missouri, Arkansas.
LSU.
And I don't think it was LSU. Ole Miss. And Ole Miss. To which everybody in Norman said, sign us up for that.
Wow. Nice.
They're not going to take away that Prairie View game in week 9. Always going to have the cupcake at the end of the year that just kind of just grinds everything to a halt.
I'd like to see. I want to see what's in the contract. Because I don't know if you guys have noticed. I went and researched it. Look, Georgia's future schedules are loaded.
They got some.
Florida is getting close with them. There's one year where Florida has 4 Power 5 opponents scheduled. Georgia has 3 or 4 years where they have 3 scheduled.
Right.
So, and Alabama's starting to do that. And you guys are seeing that. You know, they're breaking their road game deal by coming to Austin. They've been playing these neutral site games forever. Right. So I wonder if we are going to see a little break in the scheduling. You know, the Florida coach, the Florida athletic director, Scott Strickland, he told me, I talked to him at the Women's World Series. He said, we got to cut this out. We got to play real games. You know, even Alabama, the tickets are soft in terms of people coming to the stadium. Even Alabama. So people don't want to see these what amounts to a scrimmage, exhibition games.
You're exactly right.
Not that deep into the season when it's supposed to mean something.
Well, not just that. I mean, the students don't come they come in the second quarter and leave after halftime.
Yep.
And the other thing, too, it behooves Alabama and Georgia. Let's play 9 conference games or 10 because your other opponents are going to lose more games, too, than Alabama or Georgia are going to lose. So I'd love to see minimum a 9, but 10 would be perfect.
I was told there's an 8-8 split on that issue in the conference. The heavyweights, the big boys want to play 9. The other guys want to play 8.
Well, I could see that.
I mean, and I think that counts OU and Texas among the heavyweights. So, I don't know how they'll split that. I don't know enough about SEC politics to know what goes on down there.
Yeah, and obviously it looks like there's going to be no merger between the Big 12 and the Pac-12 because they're both trying to stand on their own.
Yeah. But
I just hope with the Big 12 adding 4 teams next year, you get to 12. 14 if Texas and OU are still there, and they want to just get on with the future too. So that's my hope anyway.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I'd like to see the Big 12. I told them this a year ago when all this first happened. I said, here's your best play for Big 12 contract negotiations. Stand up and say, we're going to be the conference that plays people. I told Oklahoma State, you know, Oklahoma State's got a bunch of good games lined up. They got a home and home with Arkansas, home and home with Oregon, home and home with Alabama, all those in the next 8-10 years.
Right.
I said, keep those games and keep Bedlam. OU says they want to keep playing, hold them to it.
Yeah.
Tell you, take this schedule to Fox or ESPN or whatever and say, look, we got good football when we play each other, but we got all these other games too. We're not going to play Missouri State and UTEP. We got real games you can show.
Set yourself apart. Absolutely. Yeah,
that's exactly
right. UMass. UMass is in there. The Aggies playing UMass this year?
I think they are. That'll be a good game.
They start out with I think, Sam Houston, I think.
Yeah, they've got App State too, I think, in addition to Miami.
That's a sneaky one. App State was
they beat Michigan a few years ago.
I applaud the Aggies for taking on Appalachian State. Not a lot of people do.
That's a tough game.
I do too.
Barry, always a pleasure. It was great seeing you in Dallas at Big 12 Media Day. We will see you again in Big D at the lavish Cotton Bowl with those beautiful seats that don't move, swivel chairs, but the bathrooms work. So I'm not complaining.
They do.
And keep things simmered down there, Norm, a little bit, okay?
Well, I'm hoping that things will settle down.
We're supposed to keep the drama in Austin, just for the record. So
yeah, we need to. What was that? Was it the monkey dancer or what was that? What you guys called?
That looks like
small potatoes of the Halloween stuff. This is
assassin. Yeah,
this is way worse up here, for crying out loud. That's just funny stuff.
Y'all learn from the best.
I think they'll take a monkey bite over anything else that was uttered. Yeah, I think you're right. But brother, hold it down, and we look forward to seeing you during the season. You can read his stuff on Oklahoman.com. We run a lot of his stuff on Statesman.com too, Doug. I think he's out clicking us. You got to get to work, sir. You got to get
probably
to work.
He's put the pressure on us.
Well, you made up for it during SEC Media Days, Kirk. we ate that stuff up.
Can't get enough SEC. So thanks, Barry.
See you guys later.
Come in. See you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, Doug, wonderful, wonderful conversations. We're going to shut her down. We'll be back next week. I know we haven't been doing a whole lot of back-to-backs, but we're gonna go back-to-back next week, Doug.
Yeah.
So we're getting closer to the season. We're about to ramp this thing up, and we really appreciate the guys that have hung in there with us, you guys, through vacations and time off. We have to take time off in the summer, or we don't get vacation. That's just how it is. So
we roll.
But we're back rolling. Check out our stuff on hook'em.com and statesman.com. Brian Davis and Daniel Davis as well. And we'll be back next week. That'll do it for episode 267 of On Second Thought. Thanks to Barry Trammell. And thanks to you guys for listening and checking in. He's the Duck, Kirk Bowles, and I'm Sid Golden. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com. Join Sid and Kirk every Thursday at lunch for a new episode. Archived episodes are available on iTunes and Google Android Play.